Today's daf in Masechet Gittin is daf Nun Tet, and we're only on Nun Chet Amud Beit, and we stopped at the beginning of the Pirush of the Beis Din Shel Achareihem. Is where we got up to, and we've got to start from those two dots. So we're on the second of the large lines. Zo Mishnah Rishona. Up until now, we've been talking about the Mishnah Rishona. That if you buy first, we just were concerned with who do you buy from first, you know, and if they write a contract, even if you bought first from the secret kohen or you bought first from the husband. But all of that, that we're only concerned about who goes first, is the Mishnah Rishona. Are you able to hear okay?
Yes.
Okay. But the Beit Din Shel Achareihem Amru, Halokeach Min HaSikri Kohen Noten LeBa'alim Revia. So, afterwards we made a takana that basically it doesn't matter what you do in terms of who goes first. What matters is, to avoid the whole issue, is that it's none of the secret kohen's business about whether the guy gave his permission or didn't give this permission. This way we avoid any kind of pressure situations. And we make the assumption that the secret kohen has sold at a discount. And therefore you notain lebaalim revia, so that you pay the discount that he made. And if the discount was 25% off of the normal price, so then you would pay the baalim the money that you saved. Now remember that whenever we have the question of a percentage in the halacha, it's always the question of whether it's the percentage from the total or whether it's the percentage from what it is that we're dealing with. And we have exactly the same question over here. What defines the revia? So Rav says, revia means you would pay a revia in the karka or a revia in the ma'ot, which is revia b'ma'ot. I'll explain in a moment. Shmuel Omar, revia b'karka is one-third of the ma'ot. So basically, what they're arguing with over here is that actually Rav holds that, according to Shmuel, we understand what's happening. What's happening is the classic situation where we first take the total. In other words, the total price that will be paid will be four-thirds, so to speak, right? So you paid of that price, you paid to the Sikri Kohen three-thirds, and you paid to the Baalim that one-third of that, which is one-quarter of the total. So that means that one-quarter of the total of the karka is what we would be referring to. In other words, it's a shlish, basically, in value. That's what you would end up paying. According to Rav, it's talking about a fifth, basically, because it's four-fourths plus one additional fourth, five-fourths. And that's exactly the machlokas. B'maikam iflige, Rushmol holds mar sovar, that the Sikri Kohen takes the piece of his stolen property, he reduces it by 25% from its actual value. So therefore, if you bought something from a Sikri Kohen, you actually bought something which is worth four-thirds. In other words, you take what it is that you bought, split it into three parts, add one additional similar parts, you would have four of those thirds, and that would represent the total amount, which means that he reduced it by 25% of the four parts. Each one of those parts was what is currently one-third of the price that you paid, right? So anyway, if you want to get the full amount, so you'd be talking about one-third of the money. And that way you've got one-third plus three-thirds equals the total value, because he really did reduce it by 25%. Whereas Rav holds, Mar Savar Nechichum Shazavi, that the goy, when he sold it, he reduced it by 20% of its actual value, such that one fourth of the price that you actually paid would be one-fifth. And therefore, when we're saying 25%, it's not from the total value, because 25% of the value that you paid would be 20% of the total value. The money that you paid to Sikri Kohen, plus the money that you paid to the Baalim. So this is the classic machlokas of whether we are referring to, let's say, by pidyon, where you have to be mosif chomesh. Is it chomesh milagav? Is it chomesh milabar? We've seen this argument many, many times. What do we refer to? And it's exactly the same question that you've got all the time in these phony store sales. You know, is it 25% off or 20% off, which is 25%? Like, you know, we play games with you. Meitve asks the Gemara from the Lashon of the Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, Zo Mishnah Rishonah. Beit din shel achareim amru, halokeach min hasikri kohen noten lebaalim revia. Now here the Braita expands on that in the Mishnah and says, Yad baalim ala elyonah. It's up to the original owner to define what it is that he wants from the buyer from the sikri kohen. If he insists on being given some of his original property back, so at least he can have some connection to it. So if he wants, he could take that revia bikarka, and if he wants, he could take it bimaot, and it's up to him. Notli. Ematai, when do we say that the baalim is in this kind of position? Only where he didn't have money to buy. But if he had money to buy, he always has the first right of purchase. That was the second stage. And yesh biyada likach, ein kod mina kol adam. And then we had the third stage. And the third stage was Rebbe's takana, where he got together a beit din. Rebbe Oshiv beit din to be mona between them, what they decide about a takana for Kol Yisrael. And they were nimnu, she imshata b'fnei sikri kohen 12 chodesh, that this whole issue of giving the owner the right of first refusal is only up to 12 months. The moment 12 months have passed and there's been no action on the purchase, so then the chashash that the field is going to end up being nitma b'yodav shel akum is such that that's it. We only give you 12 months. After the 12 months, whoever wants to buy can buy, and he just has to, of course, keep the original takana to pay the baalim. So im shata b'fnei sikri kohen 12 chodesh kol hakodem likach zacha. But of course, we leave in place the takana that you give the sikri kohen the 25% that he reduced the price. You give the owner the 25% that the sikri kohen reduced the price with. And what? No, there's nothing to do. No, he's out of the picture. He stole the property, sold it, and that's it. He just, he's a passing robber. So it says over here, you notain lebalim revia bekarko revia b'mo'ot. And that's exactly what Rav said. I mean, what Shmuel said, that it was shlish ha-mo'ot. Oh, Maravashi, yes, that's the point. In other words, we're talking about Kitanya, when it says revia b'ma'ot, we mean revia of the total. Revia la'acha shebo ma'ot liyadon. In other words, after we put all the money together, okay, so then you're going to be giving 25% of the total money. 25% of the total money means that you've added one-third of what you paid to the sikri kohen, slapped it onto the total, and now you've got four-thirds. So, okay, I understand that. That means, basically, a shlish. Shlish of the actual purchase price for the sikri kohen, which is the revia of the purchase price that it should have been. That's all. It's just a question of how it is that we phrase it. That's exactly what Shmuel said, that the reduced price was a reduction of 25% from the actual market value. So if this is the way you understand it, then it works out according to Shmuel perfectly well. No problem whatsoever. Oh, my Rav, you should know that you shouldn't argue with me, Because I was there. I happened to have been one of the Talmidim that was gathered together by Rebbe for that Besdin. So I can tell you, you can listen to what I'm telling you about the Takana was. If I was there, I should know. So Ana Havoy b'minyana de Rebbe. Not only was I there, but they started the count from me. So Minoy Didi Money Beresha. They started asking opinions with my opinion. And so, wait a minute, is that true? I mean, I thought that they only do that, that they don't ask from the Godol first, and they go down either, this is Machlok, as Rashi brings both Pirushim, either they start from the very youngest, or the youngest meaning the smallest, or they start from someone in the middle, you know. So Rav would have been in the middle. But the point is, it says in the Pasuk, Lo ta'aneh al riv lintot. Do you remember that? Acharei rabim. Remember that? So lo ta'aneh al riv. So the question is, how do we learn that? So lo ta'aneh al riv is lo ta'aneh al rav. Do not argue on the mufla shebebezdet. Okay. The other chashash that we have is that we want to save anyone from the opinion of someone that is older or more experienced than him. So we want to hear the younger or simplest member first, and that way his opinion isn't affected by what he hears before, and therefore he's not going to tell us what he would have told us, and without realizing it, we're not getting the 70 people that we need to get that are thinking for themselves.
Fresh viewpoint.
So Anantanan, the problem is that it says in the Mishnah that when it comes to Dine Momenes, or it comes to Inyanim of Tyres and Tumais, you always start from the Gadol. So Matchilin Min HaGadol. The only time that we have this halacha of even that, isn't that the Pashas of the Pasuk? Because Acharei Rabim, that whole idea is only b'momenes, right? And the end of the pasuk is basically not to paskin a dine nefashas ayadei one person. So you need two people for the rov. That seems to imply that the context of the din of losan al riv is part of this context of only go to the rabim if it isn't liraot. But if it's lira'ot, then you shouldn't go bust the rabbin. That's only true lira'ot in capital cases. So why in the world, if it's only bedina nefarshas that were matkilim and atzad, why in the world was Rav the first person to give an opinion in the Besdin of Rebbe? He obviously was not the Gadol. So what's the point? Omar Rabba bereda Rav Vitema Rebbe Hillel bereda Rebbe Wallace. Shaini minyan devei Rav, devei Rebbe, de kulu minyanayu minatza. Rebbe was always makpid that it should be minhatzad. So therefore Rav was minhatzad. He was one of the kitanim, or maybe the most katan, says Rashi. And because of that, they were matchil from him. And the reason is because they were doresh. Lotan al Riv, as meaning never give an opinion that would be against the opinion of the Mufla Sheba Besdin. So if they would have started with Rebbe, they would be all from Lotan al Riv in anything. So Mamela, they always started Minatzad because Rebbe was so Mufla. Remember that Mufla doesn't mean the greatest. Mufla means what Mufla always means. Niflata Ahavat Chali. It means beyond any normal way of thinking. So therefore, a mufla shebedor is a very rare thing. Because usually, when people are greater, they're greater, sort of quantitatively greater, not qualitatively that they're in a totally different set of gedula. So you have that rarely. You'll have, let's say, the gro. The gro was viewed as a mufla who was not within the confines of his own generation at all. He thought like a Rishon, he didn't think like an Achron, and that, so nobody's going to fight with the Gro. But that's a very rare thing.
And therefore, it says, Rabba Bereda Rava, Ritem Rabbi Hillel, Bereda Rabbi Valas, you should know that from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu until Rebbe, we never had that sense of somebody being so above and beyond. Not, it's not only a question of learning, it's a question of the entire gestalt. So over there we had Torah, v'gedula, b'mokam echad. It's like you were standing in front of a melech. Who's going to argue with Rebbe? See, he'll give his opinion, somebody's going to argue. So it's become so Tanel Rif. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean from the days of Moshe until Rebbe? I mean, what about Yoshua? Yoshua was a melech. Yoshua was a gadol b'teira. I mean, I said that's not teira v'gedula. No, because it was a set of people, and it was not inhabited by one unique individual. Look, Elazar HaKohen was there at the same time as Yoshua, and he was definitely a competitor with Yoshua in terms of the teira that he had. So Yoshua was not unique on that level. He wasn't mufla. Okay, but after Yoshua died, there was Elazar. Yes, that's true, but that by that time there was already Pinchas, who at that time was also a tremendous in terms of his covet, in terms of his learning. Okay, and then afterwards, when Elazar died, there was Pinchas. No, but the Zikanim, who were Mekabel directly from Yoshua, so it says they were Marech Yomim, right? If they were Marech Yomim, that means during the time of Pinchas, they had all of these people were of enormous stature. They were all very old and very experienced and tremendous gedolim, and they had been Mekabel directly. Okay, fine. So let's skip some generations. What about Sho'ul? Sho'ul was a king, and Sho'ul was a gadol b'teira. Isn't he unique? No. What about Shmuel? Understand? I mean, obviously, Shaul was listening to Shmuel, you know? So you couldn't feel if you're in front of Shaul like that's it. But, I mean, Shmuel died, and then Shaul was left alone, and you said there was never anything from the time of Yoshua till Rebbe that was on that level. During that period, there was. We don't mean that. We don't mean that there was never moments. We mean there was never an individual through his entire period of leadership who was that way. That's what we mean. The fact that there may have been 6 months after Shmuel died in which Shaul was, you know, alone the greatest, but Shaul's career was not the career that was Rebbe's career. Rebbe's career was from the first minute that he was appointed as Nasi, there was nothing like him. That's the point. So we're talking about Kulushni Kamrinan. The entire career is what we mean. But what about David? I mean, David was unbelievable, no? We have that all the Gemara in Brochus about the Darga of his Torah and how everything was brought to him and how he sat in Bezdin and so on. That's true. But there was Ira HaYairi. During that whole period, Ira HaYairi was a competitor to David. In terms of Torah, he was David's Rebbe. So why is David the equivalent of Rebbe? Okay, but then Nochnafshe, he died before David. Okay, that's true. But once again, we said, David's entire career was not the career of a mufla, believe it or not. The only time we saw such a thing was during the period of Moshe Rabbeinu and during the period of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So we don't know even what that means. The Kulishni, but you know. Well, what about Shlomo? My God, Shlomo HaMelech. I mean, like, wow, you know. That's the most famous, you know, Chochem Mikol Adam, a king, Kishulchanai Shul Shlomo HaMelech. I mean, how can you say that we never had it? Ah, but there was Shimi Ben Gera. I remember Shimi Ben Gera, he was a tough character. And when he came down and he was even shouting at David when David was escaping, he had 1,000 people with him, it says. I mean, he was obviously a very strong competitor, no? I mean, that's why David was so worried about him. Yes, that's true. But in the end, he killed him. That's also true. But you cannot say that Shlomo's entire career was the career of Torah v'Gedula. And that's what we mean. Well, what about Chizkiyahu HaMelech? Wasn't he on that darga? No. Remember, there was Shevna, was a major competitor. The Gemara says that Shevna's Bezdin was much greater than Chizkiyahu's Bezdin. That's where we said that he was very worried that maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be night after the Rov, and the Rov went with Shevna, that they should make peace with Sarcherev and surrender and so on. And it's only over there that we learn that a Rov that is made out of Rishayim, because he couldn't know that, but that's what he said, that it's called a minion of Rishayim. But Lamaisa Shevna was there. Okay, but in the end, Sancheirav killed him. No, Iktil. Yes, true. But Kula Shni Kamrina. Well, what about Ezra? We talk about Ezra restored the whole Torah, and he was mamish like the Melech there. Yeah, but there was Nehemiah. Having Nehemiah ben Chachalia at the same time. And that means there's two people in the head position. That's not the same sense of Mufla Bedoro. I'll tell you now from the perspective of generations later that from the days of Rebbe until the time of Rav Ashi, the same thing could be said. Hello, what about Huna Bar Natan? Huna Bar Natan doesn't count because Rav Huna was Mikaf Kavi Kayef Leila Rav Ashi. He totally accepted any opinion of Rav Ashi and viewed himself like, he acted like a Talmud. And therefore, it's still, I say, you can look at Rav Ashi as being in our times something similar to Rebbe. And our president has arrived, as you could tell from the burst of music from our presidential band, and is currently ready to give us a rousing wonderful Cheresh. How about somebody, and this has been on our mind the whole time, someone who cannot speak and cannot hear, can he give a get? Can he engage in business? Or do we say, well, who's going to buy from someone who afterwards will say he didn't have the kayak to do buying and selling, you know? So the question is, does his indication that he holds of something, so let's say he makes an indication with his hands or with his head, and it's very clear that he's talking to you. We'll see later on that we have to be baidik him, and there's ways of being baidik. And we'll talk about writing, his writing later on. So he's Romes and Nirmas, meaning he can be Kona and he can be Makna. And he can do this through moving his hands and his head. Is this what you want to do? Yes, absolutely. He could do the same thing for a get, as we'll see. Uben Betera Omer, Kofetz V'nikpatz. He can even open and close his mouth as an indication. So, yeah, it's like talking to Richie sometimes, you know. He gives you a kind of look, you know. So, yeah, there may be no total mind behind it, you know, but he's got that 164K there, a little repeating memory, you know. So Chazal made a takana. How would Richie be able to own an iPad if we wouldn't accept his remuzzin, right? I mean, anybody could come and take the iPad away from him as soon as he falls asleep. Yeah. So because of that, we made a takona that he can be involved, even, says Ben Batera, just moving his mouth sort of, yeah, you know, it sounds like he's saying a yes or no. And he doesn't have to necessarily move his entire hand and his face and so on. He can indicate with his lips. But that's only b'metalteling. You can only do that for metalteling. You can't do that for karka. And the reason for that is because basically karka, what we're afraid of is we can be dealing with situations where he owns the karka midiraisa. Now, suppose he was yoresh, the karka. So to say that the Rabbanan would make it possible for him to be semech on a remiza or on a kvitza, to sell something that is b'diraisa is, we didn't want to do. So we do, we make a takana as most as possible to allow him to survive. Good. I didn't hear what you said.
Are we worried about people taking advantage of
him? No, if you, no, you may give him a fantastic deal, but you stole it. He didn't sell it to you. If Midyaraita, he doesn't have das to sell, and you're walking off with something that he owns Midyaraita, what's the difference how noble your intentions are? But we made a takana, and the same thing is true, or we would have a disaster. How do children have lemonade stands? Now that is a major problem, right? You stop at the side of the road, and you buy lemonade. But the question is, those kids, you have to assume, stole the lemonade from their parents, you know? So, what are you, a secret con? So, basically...
Really, is that wouldn't be the parents that, yes, do this, go get out of the house?
There's no question. But then, the lemonade belongs to the children. So, when you stop at the side of the road and you give them whatever you give them, you're stealing from them. So how can you do that? Only because we make a takana that ha'peutot mikhan mikach, mimkaran mimkar, but also only b'metaltalim. So when it comes to lemonade stands, that's fine. If you find a kid at the side of the road selling his parents' home, don't buy it. We did not make that takana. Okay, says the Gemara. Omer of Nachman, this whole machlokas between Ben Betera and the Tanakama about whether you could be somech just on the movement of a mouth is only l'gabi metaltalim, but we never would have said that when it comes to Gittin, where, and here of course we're talking about a cheresh who had married l'chatchila only as a cheresh, not that he became a cheresh later, so that the kedushin was also a derabbanan kedushin. Obviously we can't say that a person who was married midyaraita and originally had das and then lost his das, we're going to somehow allow him to divorce his wife without das. That's not what we're talking about. But in this case, we're talking about a kedusha that was derabbanan, and he can go ahead and he can be megarish in this fashion, but not with remiza, I mean with kvitza, meaning with movement of the mouth. That we wouldn't say. So, says the Gemara, look, you got to tell me this. I mean, I also know how to read. Pshita, it says beferish b'metaltalin. And it means b'metaltalin. You could only be somech on it for selling metaltalin. Obviously not for gittin, right? I mean, Ben Betera was very careful to say b'metaltalin. No, no, you see, Maudetema, you might have thought he wasn't saying, I mean, b'metaltalin and not gittin. He was saying even b'metaltalin. Because the get, you could say, look, I mean, the whole thing basically is a takana d'rabbanan that he should have a wife, right? Because really he can't marry. So as we said, we always try to provide for marital relationships even where midyaraita they're not provided for. Sanctioned relationships that the d'rabbanan created. So they created this for a cheresh, for a chareshet, and for a ketana who has no father, and so on. Fine. So I might have thought, okay, look, you know, it could be that gittin is even more kal than metaltalin. Hello, hello? Are we there? Are we there? I've lost your... Yeah, you have to click on your camera, though, or else I can't see you. Because when it drops for a minute, it drops the camera. Thank you. There we go. Thank you very much. Okay. Please, gentlemen, learn from Moshe what needs to be done under these. If Moshe isn't there, we oftentimes get dull looks about what's supposed to be done. So keep your eyes on the boy. There you go. I stayed at the window this morning. Stayed at the window this morning, hoping to pull in a flying Yaakov or a flying Moshe, but nothing showed up at the window. Okay, so I might have thought we're going to be more Mako Begitten. Moshe, can you bring me a drink, please? I would have thought that we'd be more make. We would be more make of a kitten than bimetaltalim. Mamela, we said that, and that's the only reason. Because since metaltalim can also be, what if a guy inherited metaltalim? So if he inherited metaltalim, would be a diorita again, you know? So maybe we wouldn't make a takon on a diorita. Kamash malan, then no. Dafka metaltalim, that's where kvitsa helps, and that's because we want that the person should be able to live. If he can't buy and sell metaltalim, he's really in bad shape. How's he going to support himself? But that doesn't mean we're going to be metakein for gittin or for karkaot. I mean, he doesn't have a right to sell and doesn't have a right to be megarish if it isn't diorita. So because of that, we cannot ani ben tashiur. Because of that, we cannot be make such a takana. That's what I would have thought. Ikedei Amram Rav Nachman, you should know that the machlokes is not only b'metaltalin. The same way we have a machloket b'metaltalin, kach machloket b'gitin. How do you explain the Mishnah then? The Mishnah says only b'metaltalin. V'anan b'metaltalin t'nan. No, what it means in the Mishnah is ema af b'metaltalin. Meaning that Ben Batera is not coming to be Mamayit Gittin. He's saying even Metalta, which could be a Diorita, because you were Yerish them, even there we made a Takana. Kol Sheken, you could be Megarish, Ayadei Kvitza, because over there the entire thing is from the beginning only the Rabbon. Moving on to the next piece, Apiotot Mikan Mikach, Umimkaran Mimkar, Ben Metaltalin, a lemonade stand you are allowed to buy from. But how old do the kids have to be in the lemonade stand? I mean, if you got a toddler behind a lemonade stand, do they make the takana for toddlers? So ad kama, machve Rabbi Yudel, Rabbi Yitzchak Berei, so he showed with his fingers, you know, 6 or 7. And Rav Kahana says 7 or 8. In the bright, that says 9 or 10. The truth is low plige, you know. It depends on the general developmental scale where they were, you know. So there are kids that are precocious kids, you know. Modern kids look at TV all day. They learn about everything they shouldn't learn. So at the age of 6, they're already 60. You know, okay, so fine. What?
It's like the homeless 2 years old selling groups.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
2 years old.
Yeah. Itzik never stopped. Can you tell? Okay, but we did not make a takana for children lower than 6. The time of my, why did we make this takana? Because, again, we want children to be able to make a living. Now, we just had a mimer of Amar Rav Abba Bar Yaakov, Amar Rav Yochanan, to tell us Bishum Kedei Chayav. Once we quoted Rav Abba Bar Yaakov, who was quoting Rav Yochanan, there's another famous quote, and that is a word that few people who are not Bekiyim in Tanakh understand where the heck the word comes when you walk into a hotel and there's a big sign, Meltacha. You say, what the heck is a Meltacha? So a Meltacha is the place where you check your clothes. You get that little check for your clothes. You bring it back and the person on the Meltacha brings you back your clothes. Where did that? Huh?
Club room.
What?
The club room. When they're changing room, coat check.
Check is the point. It's the coat check, not the coat room. There's somebody is there in charge of it. It's not a coat room. It's something specific. Where did we find that in Tanakh? Well, what happened is that when Yehu had dragged poor Yonadav ben Rechav, who really believed in him at that point, and they were coming to knock off the Nevi'ei Habal, right? So what happened over there was he wanted to be able to make sure that all the secret police wouldn't shoot the wrong people. They were only supposed to shoot the Ovdei HaBaal. So when he comes, he gathers together all of the Baal worshippers, you know, and he says, Vayomer la'asher al-Meltacha, he says to the person in charge of the Meltacha, take out the special clothing for all the people who are over the Habal. Give everybody his little costume, you know. So they've got their special yarmulke for the Baal, whatever. So he asks, what is a meltecha? What is a weird word come from? I mean, it's obvious from the context what it is. Om Rav Abba Bar Yaakov, Om Rav Yochanan, Davar HaNimlal V'Nimtach. Meltecha is a reference to a place where they had very, very fine clothing that was made out of pishta, and they used to pishtan on the simplest level. When you spin pishtan, you spin it between your fingers, so it's very elastic. If you twist it, it becomes much longer as the threads are being spun. So it becomes sort of like a spandex. And what this means is that they, you know, now it's very, very much in style, these new materials where you get yourself an entire coat, which then folds up into this tiny little thing, and you put it into your pocket, right? That's what Pishtan was for them. So Kiyata Rav Dimi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, there was a very rich guy who was an admirer of Rebbe, and his name was Bunya ben Nunya. And he sent a gift to Rebbe, and what he sent was Sivni v'chomes. These were four different types of pishtan, and salsala and malmana. Now, the Sivni v'chomes is on such a level of quality that you could take an entire suit and fold it into the space of an amguza upalga and amguza. It would fit into one walnut and a half. Now, this is very, very high quality traveling material. Let me tell you, if Richie had this, we would never see him. Like this, he's got a pack, it's a schlep, it could drive him crazy. How often can he leave us? You know, so he only leaves us 30 times a year. Imagine if it would be Amguza, Palgad Amguza, he wouldn't even have to pack. Oh, yeah, yeah. And the salsala and the malmala, that would be able to be folded down into one pistachio nut and a half. Kefistika upligatapistika. My malmala, what's the lashon of malmala? That was that same lashon of the vahanim lal vahanim tach. It was spandex that they could pull, put it on, and then you could fold it down to nothing. Anyway, getting back to the kids at the lemonade stand, what if there was a problem in the price? You know, it turns out that lemonade was actually being sold for more, being sold for less. What's the din of a ta'ut in the sale of these kids? Amar Rabbi Yonah, Amar Rabbi Zer, it's exactly the same as it is in a normal sale. It's at shtut, kigadol, and once it's at shtut, you have to pay back the difference, and if it's more than shtut, the mekach is batel, the same exact din of onah. Boya baye, did we make a takana for a katan to be able to give a gift? Or is this only kidei chayav in terms of making money? But if he's going to give a matana, then maybe he'll give away too much. Exactly. Or do we say that no self-respecting baby is going to give away that lollipop if he isn't getting something in return, and therefore it's part of kidei chayav, which means he better give that lollipop or he's going to be smashed. Revyemar Omar, ein matanatom matana. Marber Ravashi Omar matanatom matana. Now, just to make sure that they saw the truth in the opinion, so they were apchua, and they switched around the opinions to say that Mar Bar Rav Ashi said, ein matana matana, even though that's not what he said. And they sent the shaila to Rav Mordechai, who was a Talmud indeed of Rav Ashi. And Rav Mordechai was like shocked that Rav Ashi's son would say the opposite of what he knew his father had said, which of course he didn't, but just to make sure they had switched it around, you know, or some learner was betaut, they were of course. Well, usually it's on purpose. So Rav Mordechai sends them back a letter, or tells the people to, if they're going in person, Zilu Amr Varmar, tell Rebbe's son, that's Mar Bar Avashi, what's the matter with you? You don't remember? Lav Hachi Avayuvdo, you don't remember when there your father, my Rebbe, Gavikoi Mar, he was walking up to the Beis HaMedrash. He had one foot on the first stair, his other foot was still on the ground. And it was at that exact point that I had asked him, what's the din of a matana, of a pa'ut? And he said, matano matana, and he even added, achat matat shchiv mera, cotton who is dying can give a matat shchiv mera, and achat matanat bori. And it doesn't matter how large a matana, achat matana meruba, v'achat matana muetet, which of course confirmed the truth of what Mar Bar Avashi had said, because here Rav Mordechai, who was a Talmud, who remembered the Maisa, said over exactly what he said, despite the fact that he thought that he was arguing with him, he was really agreeing with him. Elu Devarim, these things were said, Mipnei Darkei Shalom. Now, Mipnei Darkei Shalom means to avoid fighting. And a lot of the issues that we've been talking about flow directly from Tikkun Olam into Darkei Shalom. Because, I mean, you start with Tikkun Olam to allow a child to make a living, and then you get to the problem of whether there's kinyanim and is there a din of gezela and so on. So Mamela, we have a number of things like that. As you know from our experiences in this room, Kohanim are tough people. You know, you start up with them, you get into a lot of fights. So one of the things All right, but the Levium are definitely problems, right? Can't argue with them. So, as we're going to see, there's a din of Kidashto. You're really mechuyav midiraisa to give a Kohen and even a Levi, because one is Kadesh Kadashim, the first in that order, Kohen Levi. But Lamaisa, they can be Mavater. If they want to be Meichel and give to somebody else, or if somebody else, maybe in terms of the mitzvah of Kavanat Torah, is greater than them, so then that would be okay to give to someone else. But we made a takana b'nei darkei shalom never to do that. So the Kohen is Korei Rishon, always. Acharav Levi, always. And Acharav Yisrael. And that's b'nei darkei shalom. Otherwise, we're going to have fights all the time. Who's the gadol? Who's more kosher? Who's less kosher? We have enough tzaras for the poor gaboyim with the remaining lilias. You know, imagine if we would have to now worry if somebody's bigger than a kayin. Oh my God. Another thing is that people start to take the little chazokas that they have very seriously, you know? So let's say one person is the guy that always brings the schnapps to the, you know, somebody else wants to bring the schnapps, it's not nice. Somebody makes the herring, you're gonna come and take over my herring. Okay, obviously we can't make Mipnei Darkei Shalom on everything, but one thing that was kept as a very great chashivas was the house in the chutzner that they would use for the Eruv, right? So if we kept the Eruv for years by such and such a guy's house, and now somebody builds a new mansion and this, we want to be, no, you can't change. Ma'arvim b'bayit yashan, whatever you originally had started with the Eruv with, that's where you put the Eruv. And that's also Bnei Darkei Shalom. We don't want fights in a chutzner. Another takana was, because of the problems of water supply, so remember that they used to have what we would have called a hose. They had an open ama, in which there was like a gutter-like small channel. Everybody would fill from that channel the irrigation of their fields, but they would always fill a small reservoir, because you couldn't rely on the water supply all the time. So there was a bar next to the ama, and that ama was connected to a water supply, a stream, whatever, right? So we also made a takana that the flow of water goes always in order of closest to the water supply to furthest. The first guy who's next to the ama up where it's drawing water from the stream, gets to fill his bore first, and afterwards the next guy, and so on, down the line, because otherwise we'll be killing each other. So Mishuk Bor Shukorav La'ama is always Mitmalei Rishon, Mipnei Darkei Shalom. Another takana, which is also could lead to disasters. People trap animals. Now, if a trap is actually has a base kibul, so then the din is that a kli of a person can be kainah for him. But suppose it's not that kind of trap. It doesn't have a base kibul. You know, so it just grabs a leg or something like that. So then there's no kinyan. If there's no kinyan, somebody comes along and says, oh, looky, looky. Somebody put up this nice fish trap. It's probably that guy Richie you could take advantage of. Let's steal his fish. So the question is, that you're not allowed to steal from somebody else's trap. And we made it as if it's gezel. So in other words, even though it's not a real kinyan, but we give it a mipnei darkei shalom. Rabbi Yossi says it's not like it's gezel. The Rabbanan actually were mezake it to him, and therefore it's gezel gomor. It's not a takona that the person has to act as if it's owned by the guy. The Rabbanan gave it over into his reshuts. Another takona is that if a cheret sheita v'katan, they find something. So somebody says, listen, kid, you don't have any kinyanim, I'll take that, you know. So we made a takona, yesh v'mishum gezel ne darkei shalom. Rabbi Yossi again says, it's not mipnei darkei shalom, it's actual gezel. An oni, who is menakef barosh hazayit. And over here there is shikha on top of a zayit, and the owner has already moved on. He's not going to be taking these zaytim. If he does, it would be an issur. You're not allowed to turn around and take. So the oni climbs up to the top of the tree, and he's picking the zeitim. Fall, because he's moving the branch before he was zoche in them. 1 minute, please. So masha tachtav, a lot of those olives will fall to the ground. Comes along some smart aleck and says, well, thanks for doing the work up there, Joe. And he collects the poor guy's olives. So we made a takoni, even though they hadn't come into his hands, and they just dropped. Masha tachtav is gezel v'pnei darkei shalom. And here too, Rabbi Yossi Omer, it's gezel gomor. And another thing, the last thing in our Mishnah, is ein imimachin. We don't throw out goyim from the field where they're coming to collect like a chikhupeya, because that could lead to a lot of very bad relations. Yes, Rabbanan. Making it clear that if he picks one, he would be kaina it. You're saying that's the normal way, bang on it. Yeah, fine, okay, very good. Says the Gemara, how do we know that a kohen is kari rishon? Omer of Matan the Yomar Krov Ayichtov Moshe Ta Torah Zot Vayitna Ela Kohanim Bnei Levi. What do you mean? Well, what's this supposed to mean? A Kohanim Bnei Levi. We need to wait until the end of the Torah to figure out that Kohanim are Bnei Levi. Otva Nalo Yadina, that Kohanim are obviously from Shevet Levi. Ela's coming to tell me that there's a relationship, that there is Kohen Ben Levi. In other words, that Kohen comes first, and then comes Levi. That's the point. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Amar Miocha V'nikshu HaKohanim B'nei Levi. Here we're talking about the Egla Rufa. So you have to wait until the Parsha of Egla Rufa to tell me that Kohanim B'nei Levi Otuanan Lo Yadinan the Kohanim B'nei Levi Ela Kohen B'Reisha V'Ara Levi. Rav Ashi Amar Miocha B'nei Amram Aharon Moshe. So you see that Aaron is Kodesh Kodashim and Levi is Kodesh. Rav Chiya bar Ava Amar Me'ocha V'kidashto Tzidiraisa. V'kidashto means L'chol Dvar Kedusha. Okay? Kes Lechem Elohecha Humakriv. Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael V'kidashto means the chol davar shebikdusha. Liftoach rishon, whatever it is, aliyah l'teira, or to be the first speaker, or to get the first bracha, levorech rishon. He's the first one who gets birchas hamazon, or for bracha rishona. Litomona yofa berishon. If he wants to get the first coffee in the daf yomi, always the first coffee goes to the kohen, and so on. He can select whatever coffee he wants first. Doesn't mean he doesn't have to pay Moshe. Just remember that. Omar le'abaya l'Rav Yosef. The Mishnah says, Mipnei darkei sham, and according to this, it's a diorita. I don't understand. So then the whole Mishnah stops making sense. It's actually a diorita. Omar le'as, Rav Yosef said, I'll tell you, the din is a diorita. And the diorisa is to be understood. Why did the Torah say it? Mipnei darkei shalom. That's crazy. All the mitzvahs in the Torah are mipnei darkei shalom. The whole Torah, kol haTorah kula is darkei shalom. He said, d'rochea darkei noam, v'chol nativotea shalom. I mean, what kind of funny statement is that? Hello, Omer Abaye. It's coming to tell me, l'gabi, what Rabbah said, l'kidamar, the Tanya. We have a halacha like this, that if there's two people that are sharing a plate in a restaurant, you know, so they bought a meal together, one of the guys has to go out to the bathroom or something, the other guy does not continue to eat. He waits until that person returns. I mean, it's very impolite. But if there's three people, then if one of them has to go out, the other two can continue eating. They don't wait for one. Ha-botseya, the guy who made the motzi, he's cutting the challah, he's the one who's poshet yadot techila. He takes the first piece of challah. But if he wants to be chayla covered l'rabba l'mishagadol mimeno, and he wants to hand it to somebody else, he can. Harishut biyadot. And on this, and this is the point where I'm talking about l'kidamar, like Rabba said, and he said l'oshana l'besu'uda. But in the Beit HaKnesset, for Kriyata Torah, if a Kohen would want to be Mechabed, his Rebbe, you can't do that. Because Otulin Tsuye. And that's what's meant in the Mishnah. Mipnei Darkei Shalom, we don't allow you to be Mechalek your Aliyah. Okay, thank you very much for giving me my Aliyah. I don't feel right. And taking this Aliyah and in the presence of the great Kohen and so on, you're not allowed to say that. Omer of Matna, Hade Amrit Beit HaKnesset, Lo. The only time you can't do that in Shul is on Shabbos and Yontif. Why? Because on Shabbos and Yontif, their Shul is full. And when the Shul is full, the more Jews come together, the more arguments you have. So Mipnei Darkei Shalom, you have to worry about, you know, I mean, Dafka, the people who come only on Shabbos, those are always the ones that know exactly what you have to fight over. So therefore, we make a takona Dafka for Shabbos and Yantim, because Shlichei Rabbim. But Kriyas HaTorah on a Monday, on a Thursday, B'Sheni V'Chamishi Lo, I mean, over there, you want to give cover to somebody. Well, who's going to make a fuss of it? Says the Gemara, Eni. Is it true that you can't give even on Shabbos? What about Ravuna? Ravuna was a Yisrael. Ravuna always had the first Aliyah. And it was on Shabbos and Yom Tov. We gave him the first Aliyah. That's different. Ravuna is different. Shani Ravuna. Because there was the greatest Kohanim, the most famous Kohanim, Rabami, Rabasi. They were the Kohanim Chashivi Eretz Yisrael. And they were Mikav Havikayifle, they would make themselves like Talmidim in front of Ravuna. So over there, who's going to argue? Nobody would argue. Omer Abaye Naktinan, we have a Kabbalah, that Ein Shab Kohen Nitparda Chavila. This whole idea of Kohen Levi Yisroel falls to pieces if there's no Kohen. Some people make the mistake of thinking they're supposed to call a Levi up first because they don't know this Gemara. But there is no such thing as a Kedim. According to many, a Levi should not be called up at all under such circumstances. Because then, if you call the Levi up first, the people will think he's a Kohen. You know? If you call a Levi up after Yisrael, they'll think he isn't a Levi. If you call a Levi up after another Levi, they'll think the first Levi was the Kohen, and he's the Levi, and so on. So it just raises too many issues. Others learn it's not a problem if he gets the first aliyah, because if afterwards they're going to call up a Yisrael, so then everyone will understand that it was because there was no coin. But there's a lot of problems with that psak also. There's a whole big machlokas in the Achronim. Anyway, so therefore, nitpardach hafilah, forget about it. The Amar Abai, we have another Kabbalah, that if there isn't any Levi, a Kohen should take the place of a Levi. What? How can you call up a Kohen in place of a Levi? Any? The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kohen achar Kohen lo yikrei, should never have a Kohen reading after another Kohen. Because people will say, oh my God, they figured out that the first Kohen must have been a Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, so they had to start over again, so they called up another Kohen. So it makes the first one Pogum? Mishum Pogam Moshe Rishon? And you shouldn't call up a Levi after another Levi, because that way you're going to be Pogam both of them. They won't know which one. They'll say, maybe the first one wasn't a real Levi, so we called up another Levi. Or, no, maybe actually it was the second one that we thought was a Levi, but it's really a Yisrael. And that's why they're calling him up as a Levi after a Levi. I mean, whatever you could think is wrong, always. So, wait a minute. But you could say the same thing about a Kohen. Okay, well, we'll get to that. Kika Amrinan, I didn't mean to call up another Kohen. I meant to give the Aliyah to the same Kohen. Bo'oto Kohen, as we know. You know what? It's getting so late. I feel bad keeping you so late. You wanna just finish to the end of the daf? Is it okay? Okay. Maishna Levi Acher Levi. I don't understand. Why did you say if a Levi reads after Levi, we're Cheshesh on the first one, we're Cheshesh on the second one, the same thing could be. You're going to say one of them wasn't a Levi. And if a Kohen reads after a Kohen, why did you say Mipnei Pgamosh HaRishon? Why isn't it the same thing? Do I know which one? No, it's talking about Kohen. We're talking about a Kohen. It's Muchziklan Bavua, the Ay Sheni, that he's a Kohen. Everybody knows that he's a Kohen. He's a famous Kohen. He's called Bardea Levi a Kohen. How can anybody think he's a Levi? He says the Gemara. You could say the same thing about a Levi. You could say Achinami, where the guy is known, the Muchziklan Bavua, the Ay Sheni, the Levi. That's not an answer. What? Our famous Reb Levi is not a Levi? Ella, what's the Shaila? You're going to think he may be Mr. Levi, but it could be that his father went in and married a Mamzeret or Netina, and he lost his Kedushas. You could say the same thing, Pastor Mazarek. So, Achinami, you could say by the Kohen the same thing, that actually the father of this Kohen was a Grusha Chalutza. Maybe he's famous as Mr. Kohen, but maybe Achle Lazare. Okay, so, and if it was Achle Lazare, would we have called him up as a Levi? No, he would have had a din of a Yisrael. So how could he possibly be Pasul? Right? So you're not going to think that the second guy, he wouldn't have been a Levi? Because so if Levi Mikahave, he wouldn't be a Levi either. Zo Mishnah Rishona. Beitin Shalach Re'em Amru. Halokeach Menasik Rikon. Notin Lebalim Raviyah. I'm a Rav, Raviya Bekarka, Raviya Bemot. Shmuel, I'm a Raviya Bekarka, which is Shlish Bemot. B'mayka Miflage, Mar Sover Nechi Raviya Zavin, Mar Sover Nechi Chumshe Zavin. Meitve. Zo Mishnah Rishona, Beitin Shalachareyam Omra Lokech Menasik Riko Noten Balim Raviya, and adds the Braita, V'yada Balim Al Elyona. Rotsu Bekarka, Notlin, Rotsu Bemot, Notlin, Eimotai, Bizman Shein B'yada Likach. And V'yesh Ben Likach, In Kol Mechol Odom. Rebbe Hoshiv Beitin, V'nimnu Shimshata, B'vnei Sikri, Kol Shem Zer Chodesh, Kol HaKodem Likach Zoche, Avon Noten Lebalim Raviya Bekarka, Raviya Bemot. So it works out well, like Shmuel as well. Omar Rav, Ana Havoy B'Minyona, Devei Rebbe. And as a matter of fact, Minoy Didi Manu Bereisha. What? Why would that be? Manantan Dini Moman is Vatayra is Vatuma is Matchilin Min Agadol. The only Dini Nefashis is Matchilin Min Atzad. Omar Rav, Breda Rav, Vitem Revil, Breda Rav Olas, Shaini Minyona Devei Rebbe, Dekulu Minyonayu Min Atzad Havu. Havu Matchilin. What about Yoshua? There was Elazar. There was Elazar. There was Pinchas. There was Pinchas. There was Kenan. What about Shaul? There was Shmuel. But Shmuel died. But we mean Kula Shnei Kamriya. Well, what about David? There was Ira Yairi. But Noch Nafshe, Kula Shnei Bina. What about Shlomo? Havishimi Ben Gera. Vakatle, Kula Shnei Kamrina. What about Chizkia? Havishivina. But Haikto, Kula Shnei Kamrina. What about Ezra? There was Nechemia Ben Chachalia. Omra Vacha Breda Rova, Afani Omer, Mimot Rebbe, Vad Ravashi, Lomatsinu Torah Gedulu Mark Mechad. Lo? What about Hunabar Natan? Shani Hunabar Natan, to make a Favi Kaifle the Ravashi. I said that over wrong. Cheresh, Rom is Venirmas, Ben Beteromer, Kofetz Venikbats, but only the Metalton, Hapu Utot, Mikon Mekach, Mimkran Memkar, Ben Metalton. Omer of Nachman Machloket, Ben Metalton, Avo Begitin, Divriakober, Miza, Pshita, Ben Metalton, Zan. Maudete, Maaf, Ben Metalton, and Koshikain, Begitin, because only Rabbona. Ikidi Amri Omer of Yonachman, Kim Machloket, Metalton, Kach Machloket, Begitin. But it says metaltalin. Ema af be metaltalin. Hapu utot mikon mekach umimkar umimkar remetaltalin vat kama. What age? Machvir umyudel Rav Yitzchak. Berei, like 6 or 7. Rivkano amar barshef kvart mani. Bimatnita tana kvart tesha kvart esvel apligi kolchad vachad lefi churpe. Betayim amay amar babar biyakov amar yochan bishum kitei chayav. Vayomar lasher amel tacha. Hotzei levush lechol of the abal mai meltecha omre vava bar Yaakov omre Rabbi Yochanan davar nimlal v'nimtach ki yata revdim omre Rabbi Yochanan shikar lo bunyam ben nunyam lo Rebbe simne v'chumas salsa lo maomala simne v'chumas is kamguza o palgit amguza salsa lo maomala is kepiskata o palgit apistika mai maomala davar ha nimlal v'nimtach. And what about getting back to the cells? To utanat kama, omre bion, omre bizera, ad shtut, just same as a godel. Boya bay matanatoma, reviamare matanatomatana, marbrevash matanatomatana, chuv shadrula kamine remordechai, omar zilo omru, levar mar, because he thought he said it wrong, lav achi aviuvda, that kavikoi mar chat kare arav, chat kare adarga, vamarnele matanatomai, and he said to us, matanatomatana, chat matanat shimira, chat matanat bori, chat matanat mruba, chat matanat muetet, I can't believe you forgot. Elu devarim omru b'pnei darkei shalom. Koin korei rishon v'achrav levi achrav yisrael b'pnei darkei shalom. Ma'arvim b'bayit yashan b'pnei darkei shalom. The bor shukorav le'am azim etmalei rishon b'pnei darkei shalom. Mitzvot chayev ha'ofot v'dagim yesh b'em yishum gez b'pnei darkei shalom rabbi yosyam r'gezel gomor. Mitziat cheresh shayt v'kot yesh b'em yishum gez b'pnei darkei shalom rabbi yosyam r'gezel gomor. On yamanakev b'rosh ha'zayet ma'a shetachtav gez b'pnei darkei shalom rabbi yosyam r'gezel gomor. Ein m'machin b'yad aniyakum b'leket shechol peya b'pnei darkei shalom. Mina ani milu yomar rab matna di yomar kra v'yichtov moshe Anan lo yadana de kohanim b'nei Levi. Ela mai kohen bereshvara Levi. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafkam Rabbi Yochanan Nikshua kohanim b'nei Levi. Ot anan lo yadinan de kohanim b'nei Levi. Nino ela kohen bereshvara Levi. Rav Ashi. Omar Miyoch b'nei Amram Aaron u'Moshe v'yibadel Aaron l'akdisho kodesh kodeshim. Rabbi Chiya Barav Amar v'kidashta. לכל דבר שבקדושה. תנת ורבישמון, כי יש לו לכל דבר שבקדושה, לפתוח ראשון, לבורך ראשון, תמוני, יופי ראשון, המלא הבא לרב יוסף. So then the mission doesn't make any sense. מפני דרכי שלום. You just proved it's a D'oraita. אמר לי, it's a D'oraita. We're explaining the reason of D'oraita is מפני דרכי שלום. That's it. כל הדרך כולה is מפני דרכי שלום. דרכי הדרכי נועם, וכל דעתי בזה השלום. אלא אמרה בית לקדם מר, דתני שניים ממתינים זה לזה בקערה, שלושה אין ממתינים, הבוצע הוא פושט ידו תחילה, ובא לחלוק כובד לרב, למי שקלו ממנו שוט בידו, and here's the important part that Rabba said, לא שונה לבסעודה, ובבית הכנסת לא דעתי לנצויה. That's the point. That's when they dark to show Any Omar of Yochanan, Kohen Acher Kohen Lo Yikrom Lev Kamo Shurishon Levi Acher Levi Kamo Shum Kam Shneim Ki Kamrin Boto Kohen. My Shnei Levi Acher Levi Dika Pagam Shneim Damri Chad Minei Olav Levi. Isn't it the same thing with Kohen Acher Kohen Ami? Chad people say Chad Minei Olav Kohenu. Kengon the Muxiklam Beavud I Sheni Kohenu. So Achin Ami, you say the same thing by the Levi. The Muxiklam Beavud I Sheni Levi. Ella, what are you going to say? Amri, that maybe it was Mamzeret on the Tina Nosiv of Pasi Zare. Hokinami, Amri Grusha Chalutz Nosiv, Liachle Lazare. Yeah, but Sof, Levi, Mikahavi.